Lesson number 5. Laws and Ordinances. Prepare to teach. This lesson works much like lesson 4. The approach you take should be determined by the needs, interests, and situations of the people you are teaching and direction from the Spirit. Constantly think and pray about how to help others live the gospel. Be mindful of the questions and level of understanding of those you teach. Ideas include: teaching one or more of the laws and ordinances from this lesson while reviewing the message of the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation, and the gospel of Jesus Christ lessons. For example, while teaching the message of the restoration, you may want to teach about priesthood and missionary work. While teaching the plan of salvation, you may teach about eternal marriage, temples and family history service, and teaching and learning in the church. While teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you may want to teach about the straight and narrow way and serving in the church. Teaching two or three of the laws and ordinances as a single lesson. Teaching a single law or ordinance as a lesson. Work with members to help people you are teaching accept and begin living these laws and ordinances. Help people recognize that by keeping God's laws, they will retain a remission of their sins and stay on the pathway to exaltation. They will experience greater peace and joy. They will find answers to life's questions and security in the knowledge that they belong to the true Church of Jesus Christ. The laws and ordinances serve as directions for living joyfully with faith in Jesus Christ and a firm hope of receiving exaltation with our Father in heaven. Learn about the laws, ordinances, and commitments. As you study laws and ordinances, it is helpful to follow the pattern below. Study the section that describes the doctrine and write a simple lesson plan with 3 to 5 main points. Teach a 2 or 3 minute version to your companion. Practice how you will extend each invitation and how you will resolve concerns. Discuss effective ways to follow up on each commitment that people you are teaching have accepted.
Priesthood and auxiliaries. Priesthood is the power and authority given to man to act in God's name for the salvation of his children. Priesthood power blesses all of us. Through the priesthood, women and men receive the ordinances of salvation, as well as the blessings of healing, comfort, and counsel. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is led by Jesus Christ through apostles and prophets. These are righteous men who are called of God and given the priesthood. Anciently, Christ ordained his apostles and gave them the priesthood. That authority was lost when the people rejected the gospel and killed Christ and the apostles. Priesthood authority was restored in 1829 when John the Baptist appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. He laid his hands on their heads and conferred on them the Aaronic priesthood. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 13. A short time later, Peter, James, and John of the original 12 apostles laid their hands on Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery and conferred upon them the Melchizedek priesthood, which Peter, James, and John had received from Jesus Christ. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 27, verses 12 through 13. A man can receive priesthood authority only by proper ordination, by the laying on of hands, by one who has the authority. A man who receives the priesthood is given a marvelous opportunity. He enters a covenant to fulfill sacred duties, serve others, and help build up the church. He must have a desire to serve God and must be ordained to this power. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 4, verse 3, and section 63, verse 57. It is also necessary for priesthood holders to perform sacred ordinances such as baptism and confirmation. When priesthood authority is used worthily, the power of God is manifest. Priesthood power can be used only in righteousness, love, and patience. How does this apply to women? President Dallin H. Oaks taught that women who are set apart as missionaries, officers, or teachers in the church are, quote, given priesthood authority to perform a priesthood function, end quote. See The Keys and Authority of the Priesthood, Ensign Orleahona, May 2014. All priesthood comes from God. There are two priesthoods in the church, the Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood administers ordinances such as baptism and the sacrament. Worthy males of the appropriate age receive the Aaronic priesthood soon after baptism and confirmation. Worthy adult males will eventually receive the Melchizedek or higher priesthood. Members of the church receive many spiritual and temporal blessings through the power of this priesthood. Worthy Melchizedek priesthood holders can confer the gift of the Holy Ghost, ordain others to the priesthood as assigned, anoint the sick with consecrated oil, and give blessings of healing and comfort. Worthy husbands and fathers who hold the Melchizedek priesthood can give their spouses, children, and other family members special blessings. Ministering brothers care for individuals and families in the households of church members. Ministering sisters care for other women in the church. Bishops and stake presidents are judges in the church. They have the authority to help saints who have sinned to repent and enjoy the full blessings of church membership. They interview people to ensure their worthiness to enter the temple. In an address to the Relief Society, President Joseph Fielding Smith taught, quote, "While the sisters have not been given the priesthood, it has not been conferred upon them. That does not mean that the Lord has not given unto them authority. A man may have authority given to him or a sister to her to do certain things in the church that are binding and absolutely necessary for our salvation, such as the work that our sisters do in the house of the Lord. They have authority given unto them to do some great and wonderful things, sacred unto the Lord, and binding just as thoroughly as are the blessings that are given by the men who hold the priesthood." End quote. See Joseph Fielding Smith, Relief Society, An Aid to the Priesthood, Relief Society Magazine, January 1959. Church auxiliaries are organized by priesthood authority to assist in strengthening members. Both men and women are a great resource in missionary work as they assist in finding, teaching, and fellowshipping new converts. The Relief Society, which includes women ages 18 and over, reaches out in service to families, individuals, and the community. Young women, ages 11 to 18, are members of the Young Women Program. Boys of similar ages participate in the Young Men Program. All children, ages 3 to 11, are part of the primary organization. All members age 11 and older are enrolled in Sunday school classes. Scripture Study. See Mosiah chapter 18, verse 17. Alma chapter 13, verses 1 through 19. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verses 38 through 65, section 84, verses 19 and 20, section 107, and section 121, verses 34 through 46. See also Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, John chapter 15, verse 16, and James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Invitations. Will you prepare to receive the Aaronic priesthood? For eligible and worthy males of the appropriate age. Will you prepare to receive the Melchizedek priesthood? Ask this question for eligible and worthy adult males. Will you participate actively in the appropriate auxiliary organizations?
Missionary work. Members who share the gospel experience joy and have the Spirit of the Lord more abundantly. As we share the gospel, we appreciate how precious and meaningful it is to us, and we feel a greater love for God and others. The Lord commanded His followers to preach the gospel in all the world, giving every person the opportunity to accept or reject it. When people are baptized, they make a covenant to always stand as witnesses of God. They are commanded to share the gospel with those who have not yet received it. As they live the gospel faithfully, they will set an example, showing their family members and friends the great blessings that come from living the gospel. They should also take advantage of opportunities to answer questions, share printed materials or digital media, and invite others to learn more about the message of the restored gospel. Members should pray for those who are not members of the church. They should pray for missionary opportunities to serve those who are not of our faith and share what they believe. The Lord promises to help members know what to say and do as they share the gospel. Scripture Study. Jacob chapter 5, verses 70 through 75. Mosiah chapter 28, verse 3. Doctrine and Covenants, section 18, verses 10 through 16. Section 19, verse 29. Section 33, verses 8 through 11, Section 38, verses 40 through 42, Section 84, verses 74 through 76, and 88, Section 88, verse 81, and Section 100, verses 5 through 8. Invitations. Will you prepare to invite friends and relatives who do not belong to the church to meet with the missionaries to be taught the gospel? Will you pray for the missionaries and for opportunities to share the gospel? Will you prepare to serve a mission?
Eternal marriage. The basic unit of the church is the family. Within the family, people experience many of life's greatest joys and sorrows. Marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God and is central to God's eternal plan for the salvation of His children. The means by which mortal life is created is divinely appointed and is safeguarded by marriage. The divine plan of happiness enables family relationships to endure beyond the grave. Marriage, however, can be eternal only when authorized priesthood holders perform the sealing ordinance in sacred temples and when husbands and wives who have been sealed together keep the covenants they have made. Husbands and wives are to love each other. As they keep the commandments and live gospel principles, they are to honor their marital vows with complete fidelity. See The Family, A Proclamation to the World, Ensign or Liahona, May 2017. See also Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 22. Happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of Jesus Christ and when parents make their family their highest priority. Quote, by divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. End quote. See again The Family, A Proclamation to the World. Together, parents are to teach their children the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them live it. Satan is making a concentrated attack on families. Years ago, church leaders set aside one evening a week as a time for home evening. Parents should use this time to teach their children the gospel, strengthen their relationships with them, and have fun together. Other ways of strengthening the family include daily family prayer and scripture study, worshiping at church as a family, doing family history, and serving others. Heaven is a continuation of the ideal family. Through priesthood ordinances and righteous living, we can live as families in God's presence eternally. Scripture study. Marriage. See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 22, Section 49, verse 15, Section 131, verses 1 through 4, and Section 132, verse 7. Also, refer to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and The Family, A Proclamation to the World. Family. See Mosiah chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, 3 Nephi chapter 18, verse 21, Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, and The Family, A Proclamation to the World. Teach children. See Alma chapter 56, verse 47, chapter 57, verse 21, Moses chapter 6, verses 55 through 62, Doctrine and Covenants, section 68, verses 25 through 30, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Invitations. Will you hold weekly home evening, daily family prayer, daily family scripture study, and other family activities? Will you prepare to enter the temple to 1. Receive your endowment, 2. Be married for time and eternity, or, if married, be sealed for eternity as husband and wife, and 3. Have your children sealed to you? Will you worship on the Sabbath as a family? Will you serve others?
Temples and family history. God has commanded His people to build temples. In the temple, we make sacred covenants and are endowed with, or are given, a gift of power and knowledge from on high. This power helps us in our daily lives and enables us to build God's kingdom. In the temple, we can also be married for time and eternity, thus making it possible for families to be together forever in God's presence. After at least 1 year of membership, worthy adults may be eligible to receive from their bishop a recommend to receive their own endowment. After receiving their endowments, married couples may be sealed or married for eternity. The Savior loves all people and desires their salvation. Yet millions of people have died without having any opportunity to hear the message of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ or receive saving ordinances. Through His loving grace and mercy, the Lord makes salvation possible for everyone who did not have the opportunity to receive, understand, and obey the gospel during their mortal lives. The gospel is preached to these deceased people in the spirit world. Members of the church on earth perform the saving ordinances in behalf of their deceased ancestors and others. Deceased persons living in the spirit world have the opportunity to accept or reject the gospel and the ordinances performed in their behalf. For this reason, church members search for information about their ancestors. They can then add the information they find to the church's database at familysearch.org. A person can do so either on their own or with the help of a temple and family history consultant. The church's database then allows church members to share or print out and take to the temple the names of deceased relatives who need to have saving ordinances performed on their behalf in sacred temples. This is an important aspect of doing family history. Worthy members of the appropriate age, including new members, are eligible to receive from their bishop a limited use recommend to participate in performing baptisms and confirmations for these deceased ancestors. Family history. Working with the ward mission leader, introduce those you are teaching and new converts to another ward member who is familiar with temple and family history service, such as a temple and family history consultant. They can help those people identify their deceased relatives who are in need of temple ordinances. Where possible, go with new members to the temple. Participate with them in performing temple ordinances. Scripture study. Doctrine and Covenants, section 43, verse 16, section 95, verses 8 and 9, section 124, verses 22 through 42, section 128, section 131, section 132, and section 138. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, and Psalm 65, verse 4. Invitations. Will you prepare to receive temple ordinances? Soon after baptism and confirmation, worthy members of the appropriate age can receive a recommend to go to the temple and participate in baptisms for the dead. Will you participate in family history work and submit the names of deceased ancestors to receive temple ordinances?
Service. One of the great blessings of membership in the church is the opportunity to serve. When we give loving service to others, we are serving God. When we are baptized, we covenant to give such service. See Mosiah chapter 18, verses 8 through 10. We are to become aware of others' physical and spiritual needs. We then give of our time, talents, and means to help meet those needs. We follow the example of the Savior who came to serve others. We are to do what Jesus did and become like Him. Soon after baptism, new members receive from priesthood leaders the blessing of a responsibility to help in the church. This is referred to as a calling. All of the work in the church is voluntary. No one is paid for such service. When we accept callings, we are sustained publicly in a church meeting so that other members can acknowledge our calling and provide support. We are also set apart by a priesthood leader and given special blessings to help us fulfill our callings. The church needs the talents and abilities of every member to fill a wide variety of callings. All callings are important and help build God's kingdom. We are to accept such callings and work diligently to learn and fulfill our duties. As we do so, we grow in faith, develop new talents and a greater ability to serve, and receive numerous other blessings. sisters and priesthood holders may be given assignments to minister to others. As members minister, they determine through communication and inspiration the frequency and type of contact they have with those to whom they give care. Ministering brothers care for individuals and families in households. Ministering sisters represent the Relief Society by caring for each adult sister as assigned. Some opportunities to care for those in need come through church callings. Other opportunities are present in members' homes, neighborhoods, and communities, such as those coordinated by Just Serve, where it is approved. Members can also help the poor and needy of all faiths throughout the world by supporting the church's humanitarian efforts, by participating in disaster response, and by giving individual efforts to serve others in need. Scripture Study. Charity. See Moroni chapter 7, verses 43 through 48. Doctrine and Covenants section 88, verse 125. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Care for the poor. See Mosiah chapter 4, verse 26. Alma chapter 34, verses 28 through 29. Doctrine and Covenants section 52, verse 40. And Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. We are to serve. See Mosiah chapter 2, verse 17, and chapter 18, verses 8 through 10. See also Doctrine and Covenants section 42, verse 29, and section 107, verses 99 through 100. Invitations. Will you accept a calling or an assignment if it is extended to you, including an assignment as a ministering brother or a ministering sister? Will you support others in their callings?
Teaching and learning in the church. The church is organized to perfect and bless the lives of the members. It gives us opportunities to teach one another the gospel, fellowship and serve one another, and support one another in our quest for salvation. In the family and through the church, each member is taught the doctrine of the gospel. When members are called to teaching assignments, they are provided materials and help to enable them to succeed. Scripture Study. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verses 77 through 79, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. Invitation. Will you attend church? Endure to the end. As we continue to live the gospel, we grow closer to our Heavenly Father. We enjoy and appreciate more the atonement of the Savior. Our families are drawn closer together. We experience greater feelings of the love, joy, and peace that come from following the Savior and applying His atonement. Our hearts are changed, and we find security in living the restored gospel. As we continue to exercise faith in Christ, repent, and renew our covenants, we enjoy continued guidance from the Holy Ghost. If we endure to the end of our lives in being true to our covenants, we will receive exaltation. President Russell M. Nelson taught, quote, "Keep on the covenant path. Your commitment to follow the Savior by making covenants with Him and then keeping those covenants will open the door to every spiritual privilege and blessing available to men, women, and children everywhere. The end for which each of us strives is to be endowed with a power in a house of the Lord, sealed as families, faithful to the covenants made in a temple that qualify us for the greatest gift of God, that of eternal life." End quote. From the live telecast from the Annex of the Salt Lake Temple, January 16, 2018. A few members do not endure or remain fully active. However, enduring to the end is a personal responsibility. We work out our own salvation. See Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And we serve and love those whose faith has grown weak through inactivity. Scripture Study. 2 Nephi chapter 31, verses 20 and 21. Moroni chapter 6, verse 4. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 37. Articles of Faith, chapter 1, verse 3, John chapter 14, verses 15 and 21, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, and Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Invitation. Will you continue to live the gospel by keeping the baptismal covenant throughout your life?